Young man, I say to you, rise. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. The readings for this Sunday and second Sunday after Pentecost are about healing. The widow of Zarephath and Elijah, and the widow of Nain. These are stories about someone who was dead who becomes alive, someone who has only a little bit of grain to make bread and is asked to give it up, to let go, in order for a greater harvest. This past week, for a few days, I spent time in St. Mary's College at St. Mary's County, way down south along the Chesapeake, at a continuing education called The Journey Towards God, an interfaith exploration into the power of poetry and reflection, metaphor, and connection. That's a mouthful for a conference, but it was a truly astounding conference which weaved the spoken word and poetry with our faith. I've given you three poems that I want to talk about as poems of healing. And I ask you to turn to your, there should be a handout, and if you don't have one, raise your hand. But I think everyone has one. One of the things, when something happens in our family that's an opportunity for healing, it often comes out of tragedy. And when the tragedy happens, there's this great chaos in your life. I'm thinking of when a funeral happens, a death happens in the family. For 3 or 4 days or a week maybe, it is just total bedlam. Your schedule is all completely shot, and you are trying to get this funeral and together and invite everyone to be there, and you're in the middle of grief. And after the funeral and after the reception or the meal or whatever you do to celebrate this person who has died's life, you lie down and say, ah, amen. And so I wanted to read this first poem for you by Vassar Miller about the creative chaos in a family celebration, which many of you will have around graduation. And this is about creation, and I'm going to say a little bit about Vassar Miller after I read it. God, best at making in the morning, tossed stars and planets, singing and dancing, rolled Saturn's rings, spinning and humming, twirled the earth so hard it coughed and spat the moon up, brilliant bubble floating around it for good, stretched holy hands till birds and nervous sparks flew forth from them, and beasts, lizards big and little, apes, lions, elephants, dogs and cats cavorting, tumbling over themselves, dizzy with joy when God made us in the morning too. Both man and woman, leaving Adam no time for sleep, so nimbly was Eve bouncing out of his side, till at night came everything and everybody, growing tired, declined, sat down, and in one soft descended, Alleluia. That is a breathless poem. There's nowhere to breathe, and it is about the chaos and the joy of creating creation. Vassar Miller died in 1998. She was born in 1924 in Houston, Texas, and she was the daughter of a prominent architect. She began writing as a child, composing on a typewriter one finger at a time. She was born with cerebral palsy. It affected her speech and her movement. But she had a tenacity because of that cerebral palsy in her writing and in her life. She's been called the Emily Dickinson of the 20th century. And beyond her dogs and her friends, few things made Vassar happier than Sundays. For on Sundays in the morning, she went to the local Episcopal church, where she cherished the morning rituals and repetition. And in the afternoon, she went to the liberal Baptist congregation that freed her from tradition. I think of this poem and Vassar Miller as someone who had a tenacity, and when an event happens in our lives that rocks our world, in one way or another, we find that we need that tenacity in the chaos. The second poem is by Lucille Clifton, who was a poet laureate in the state, also a professor at St. Mary's College. And her presence, she died in 2010, just this February. Her presence was brooding over this conference because the folks that were there that taught at St. Mary's knew and loved her. And the room that we spent our time in was the room she gave her poetry readings. One of the things that happens after the chaos and we've sat down is then it's time to really let go. There are lots of places in our lives where we're in need of healing and we need to let go of behaviors, of people we love, of many, many things. And this poem was read to us and signed for us by one of the participants who is a signer for the deaf. I'm going to read The Lesson of the Falling. The leaves believe such letting go is love. Such love is faith. Such faith is grace. Such grace is God. I agree with the leaves. And I wish so much that the sign interpreter was here because what she did was beautiful and made you realize that letting go can be a dance of love, a beautiful dance of love. And her symbol for the first line was this. Lucille Clifton was born in 1936 in New York State. She's of African-American heritage, and she often wrote on feminist themes with a particular emphasis on the female body. One of her ancestors was the first black woman legally hanged in the state of Kentucky. Girls in her family were born with an extra finger on each hand, and due to superstition or social stigma, the two extra fingers on her hand were surgically removed as a child. Her two ghost fingers and their activities became subjects of many of her poems. She experienced gout in her later years as well as cancer and wrote about them extensively. She was a professor at Coppin State and St. Mary's College. And she also had that tenacity of spirit that continued to ask the important questions and ask for the letting go in her life. The final poem is on the back of your sheet, and it's by Michael Glaser, who was the head of this conference and was the Poet Laureate of Maryland from 2004 to 2009. He is a professor of English at St. Mary's College. He is Jewish, but he has children who are evangelical Christians. He has written extensively on what it means to be a father. And I think what happens after we let go, as hard as it is, the act of letting go, the next piece is to bless. There's the chaos, the letting go, and the blessing. And Michael wrote this poem for at St. Mary's College at graduation. There's a time where the parents come together, and he wrote this as a poem for the parents of graduating seniors. Now, I have a graduating senior for high school, and anyone that has ever let a child go, someone you love, into the unknown, it happens again and again and again in many parts of their lives. So I wanted to read this to you, but I think it also reflects this piece of letting go into a new place. Stepping into the promised unknown. Once again, you arrive at that next and necessary step. May each tomorrow embrace you with wonder and delight. May your questions guide you towards humility. May you recognize evil and shun it. May you know good and do it. May justice and compassion shape the circles in which you are called to dance. And may your hearts open again to all the sweetness you have hidden away, fearing it might betray you. May you listen to those angels still whispering through the dark, as they urge you to live each day closer to both tenderness and truth than when you first heard the tremulous aching of your heart's insistent song. As we enter into the summer months, it's a time of slower pace. It's a time to ponder the next step. It always feels like to me we close the end of a chapter, because I've been a student most of my life, we close the end of the chapter when we get to June and we start to think about opening a new one. I'm wondering what you need to let go of this summer, what chaos in your life has happened this year, and it's time, like the leaf, to let it go. And then what do you take up yet again as someone who follows Jesus? What healing and next step is there? I could see this poem being read to the widow of Zarephath and her son who was born again. I can see this being read to the widow of Nain. I can see this being read to Paul as he left behind his Jewish roots and persecution and entered into a new life, a broader place of his Jewish roots. I ask for blessings for you as you make that next wondrous step. Amen.